Welcome back to the Master Your Marriage podcast. This is episode 2 of our series that we just started on communication. So last time in episode 1 of the series, we dove into why speaking up honestly in your relationship, even when it's difficult, is so critical. And we talked about how when we bottle up our truth and we bottle up our perspectives and our needs, that it can stunt our emotional growth, our psychological growth, and it causes us to pile up resentments that can linger for years, even decades. Now, today, we're going to be building on that foundation because the feedback that we've been hearing from all of you is that you love our series that we do on communication.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's been one of our top favorite episodes. And so what we've heard from you is that you want more communication tools. You want more specific, actionable tools that are going to help to improve the communication in your relationship. And that is what we're going to be delivering today, up next on Master Your Marriage.
Did you know the average couple waits 6 years to get help in their marriage?
Yeah, that's 6 years of pain, hurt, and frustration.
Hi there, I'm Charla Snow.
And I'm Robert Snow.
And welcome to Master Your Marriage,
where we believe that having an amazing marriage should never feel like hard work and shouldn't be a guessing game.
This is the show for married couples who want to discover a scientifically proven approach to building a masterful marriage and have fun while doing it.
So if that's you, you're in the right place. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another episode and our second episode on a new series in communication. But before we jump in, we're going to start with a podcast review from one of our listeners. This review is from JLLJB, and they said the following. Love this podcast. Their advice is thorough and solid. It educates, it brings awareness, and it gives actionable steps in doable pieces, all in about 30 minutes. It's just the right amount of everything, so I feel like I've learned something and I have small but impactful things that I can do to improve myself and my marriage. That's cool.
I love that. That's exactly what we aim for every week.
We want 30 minutes and we want to give little pieces of education that they can use.
That's our model. That's our goal. So we are grateful that you appreciate that. So thank you very much for that review. If you've never heard us talk about reviews before, here's why they're so important. They're not just a way to kind of pat us on the back, make us feel good, even though we obviously love reading your comments. But more importantly, reviews help this podcast to grow. And that's because when Apple or Spotify see more positive reviews, then they're more likely to feature us. And that will help more people to discover the podcast and get the same insights that you guys do. So if our show has ever given you a helpful tip or strengthened your relationship, we'd be so grateful for your review. And each week, if your review is shared on the show, then you can get a special gift from us.
This is awesome. So here's how it works. Simply head to Master Your Marriage on Apple Podcasts, scroll to the bottom, tap the 5-star area, then drop us a quick sentence or two in the review box. Then each week, we'll pick one review to read on air on the show. If you hear yours, just shoot us an email over at masteryourmarriage@gmail.com, and then we'll send you a prize as a quick little thank you gift for supporting the show.
All right. Awesome. Well, let's get back into today's topic now, and I want you to pause for a moment and think of a moment in your relationship when your partner was truly there for you. They somehow met your needs in a way that felt really genuine. It felt like it was coming from a place of authenticity, not from a place of obligation or fear, just because they just cared about you deeply and they wanted to make your life better. So maybe it was when, I don't know, they stayed up late to be able to listen to you after you had a rough day, or they surprised you with a small gesture that made you feel as though you truly mattered to them.
So what I want you to do, the listener, is I want you to sort of think of this time when you felt that appreciation or, you know, that kindness. And I want you to think of a specific time and I want you to picture it. So I'm going to ask you to just sort of hold on to that feeling, that image, that instance in your brain. And we're going to talk about this just a little bit later, but I want you to think about where that is.
Perfect. All right. Well, let's start with a big question. And the question is, how are we as human beings meant to live? I like to think about this.
That's a deep question.
It's kind of an existential question, bear with me for a minute.
Okay.
Do you think there is a way that we are designed to perhaps show up in the world? Well, we might turn to, for example, philosophy, religion, maybe science to maybe answer this question. For example, if we were to look at all of the world's major religions, Christianity, Buddhism, we would see that there's a common thread that actually weaves through a lot of the religions that actually might answer or give us some hints as to how to answer this question.
And that answer is some version of compassion. Mm. We've all felt that spark when we freely choose to make someone's life better. Every major religion in some form has an emphasis on this. You see it in the Golden Rule. You see it in acts of charity. You see it in acts of loving kindness. And it's not just religion. Philosophy talks about this as well.
Yeah. And I mean, just this just goes to the core of what I believe. And I really believe that it is our basic nature as human beings. Deep down, we have this, I don't know, I kind of think of it like an inner light or a drive to use our energy, not just to enrich our own lives. Of course, mm-hmm. that's part of it, but to also lift up others as well. And now, obviously, we're not perfect and we get out of sorts and we don't always act in this way. Obviously, life gets messy, our stresses pile up and our little light in us tends to dim. But I am convinced that it is there within us, that kind of this little encouraging voice that tells us how it is that we're meant to live.
I love the way you brought that in, just the how are we meant to live? Mm-hmm. And we both sort of believe that we're meant to live with compassion and kindness.
Yeah. There's things that get us out of sorts that take us away from that.
We don't always do it, but I think it's our base. Maybe we'll call it our base setting for us.
Oh, I like that.
And I think mm-hmm. our base setting is maybe kindness and compassion. It doesn't always happen.
Sometimes a virus comes in and rewrites those settings a little bit.
And true compassion is simply just the joy of contributing to another person's life and well-being, no strings attached. So I want you to think back to that moment that I asked you to reflect upon earlier. That is what it feels like when we tap into this inner light, this base setting of compassion.
Mm, yeah, that's awesome. Now, this idea of compassionate giving is the core, I think, of all of our relationships, especially in our committed relationships and our marriages. When we share our needs openly with our partner, we're letting them in on what would make our life more wonderful. And in return, they tend to want to make our life more wonderful by helping us to get our needs met. And then we also need to be open to hearing what it is that would enrich their life in return.
Absolutely.
It doesn't mean now that I have to do that. It doesn't mean that we're required to meet someone's needs. Doesn't mean that we're always going to be in a position to be able to do so. But this exchange of sharing and receiving of each other's needs, that's how we connect. That's how we connect deeply and intimately and authentically. And I think it's how we help each other to feel loved, to feel like we matter, to feel cherished.
But there is a catch. There are ways of communicating that make it very difficult for our partner to want to meet our needs. So what do you think? Should we talk about a couple of those ways, the mistakes that we make where it gets really hard or maybe impossible for our partner to meet our needs?
I think we should. Yes. The first one is any form of language mm-hmm. that sounds like judgment, okay, criticism, blame, or insults.
Yeah, I just stopped listening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. And if you're not listening, then certainly you're not tuning in to what my needs are or how you might be able to help make my life better.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because you're not even listening, let alone listening with empathy or listening to help me to meet those needs. Yeah. So let me say those again, judgment, criticism, blame, or insults. So think about phrases, we've all used them, like you're just so lazy, or insert whatever word, you're just so blank, or why can't you listen for once? You know, or maybe you're just constantly preoccupied with work and you never have time for me. So all of these types of phrases, they carry a sting, don't they? And they push our partner away, like Robert just said. And that's because they're filled with judgments and criticisms. Now, judgments is a word that I'm going to ask you to suspend your questions about that until next week, because this is a big component. Understanding what judgments are is a big component to communicating effectively. And next week, we're going to get really nitty gritty in understanding what a judgment is when we're passing judgment in our mind and how that comes out in our communication. And so we're going to teach you next week how to identify that and not do that. But for today, just these key things of judgments, criticisms, blames, insults, these are things that are going to make it really hard for a partner to want to make our life better.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad we're talking about judgment. I almost said some more, but I remembered we're talking about that next week.
We are.
Yeah. Okay. The second habit that will create resistance is presenting our requests in a way that maybe feels like a demand instead of a true request. If your partner hears something to the effect of do this or else, they're never going to willingly kind of give you their heart, their mind, their soul, or even want to do anything nice for you, because now they're doing it out of fear and resentment. And so we don't want our partner to act or feel like there's fear or else attached to the request.
Exactly. And then the third habit that destroys communication is using any form of punishment, or we'll call it punishment or retaliation. And even if it's just like a hint of it, if I ask Robert to do something and maybe I have a history of not getting my way and then giving him the silent treatment, then he's going to have that fear of punishment, that fear of retaliation. So retaliation, if it could speak, it would say like, if I don't get what I want from you, I'm going to make you pay, and I will punish you and find some way to inflict some kind of suffering on you. And it's interesting because there's a lot of very sneaky ways people can retaliate. I mean, sure, there's the really obvious ways that we, and direct ways that we show punishment, like saying something or doing something outright nasty. But there's indirect punishment, and it's sneaky, and it usually comes in the form of withholding. It could be withholding a conversation, the silent treatment. It could come in the form of withholding sex or affection or physical touch. It could be refusing to say, I love you, or refusing to give you a hug or a kiss. It could be giving, as I just used in that example, the silent treatment. So there's a lot of ways that we can do this. And so the third key thing here is that if there's a fear of punishment and someone is then acting out of that fear of punishment, then it's also, again, not being given willingly.
And I think that in all relationships, we've sort of been that way when we've done something. I remember, you know, I think we all do that. Like, oh man, I better do this thing because if not, or else is attached.
She's going to make me pay, or
he's going to make me pay. So we all sort of feel that way, and you don't want to feel that way. And so you certainly don't want your partner to feel that way.
Yes.
So let's recap the three habits that commonly we engage in that destroy or really just hamper our communication. Number one, again, is judgments, blame, criticism, and insults. Number two is making demands instead of requests. And number three, which is very close to number two, this is punishment and or doing something in the fear of punishment.
Great. And when our partner hears any of these things, again, it's tough for them to feel that joy that we want them to feel of contributing to our well-being.
Yeah, it's the opposite, I think. As I mentioned earlier, when you start those things, I just stop listening.
Yeah.
So it's not even the joy, it's like it's complete disconnect.
Yes.
Yeah.
And these barriers block that person's natural desire. Remember the light that we talked about at the beginning of the episode?
Absolutely.
It blocks that natural desire to make our life more wonderful, that inner drive. In fact, I would say we want the opposite of control or manipulation. We want our partner to know that, in fact, we would never actually want them to meet our needs if it was being done out of guilt, shame, fear, these things we just talked about. And why is that?
Well, I mean, I think we want to be in a position where the communication is so good that I want to do things to serve you and to make you happy.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why this matters. When we use criticism, blame, or insults to get what we want, it comes at a steep cost.
That's right.
And as I mentioned just a little bit earlier, like even if I were to comply, I'm not giving you my heart, right? I'm acting out of shame or guilt or conflict. And you might get what you want in the moment. Like maybe you need them to do the dishes or you want them to apologize, but it's not honest giving. And that creates this debt. It creates this canyon between you where the distance increases, where one is disengaging. And that debt shows up as resentment, like we talked about in the past. And then there's going to be broken trust. And in the worst cases, this can spell the beginning of the end of the relationship. Mm-hmm. It is a high price to pay to have your partner do something out of responsibility or debt or fear,
right,
to your relationship. That will, you'll get a short-term win, but you'll pay a long-term price in your relationship when it comes to happiness, when it comes to intimacy, when it comes to connection.
Well said. So when you have a need, and it's okay that you have a need, and as we talked about in the first episode of this series, we need to be able to express ourselves and to share those needs with one another. But when you have a need that's not being met, and you are maybe perhaps tempted to use one of those three strategies that we talked about,
right?
Like using a demanding tone or the threat of punishment.
It may be all you know.
Then I want you to start trying something new. I want you to pause. And before you say a word, I want you to ask yourself two very simple but very powerful questions. And these questions are going to help you to reframe what you're about to say next.
Okay.
Okay. I'm ready. And the energy in which you do it. Okay. So why don't you give me the questions? Two
things. Okay. Question one, if your partner is doing something that you don't like, ask yourself what you would like them to do differently. Like specifically, what would you like them to do differently? And if you have that, good. Let's move on to the next part two, or the second question. And this is the important one. What do you want their reasons to be for doing what you're requesting? How do you want them to act? Do you want them to do it out of fear? Like, how does this work?
What do you want their reasons to be for meeting your request? Okay. So let's say I don't know. We'll just come up with a, for instance, I come home and the dishes are piled up again.
Okay.
And it's been a pattern and I'm overwhelmed.
This is good. This doesn't seem like me, but.
No, this is not. This is not, but I'm just, this I know, is definitely just not like you. It's probably the reverse of this, anything, but you know, and maybe I'm just overwhelmed and I ask for your help and I want to ask for your help in keeping the kitchen clean. So if I'm thinking about coming in hot, like you lazy slob, you know, what the heck is wrong with you? Why is it that we've having this conversation again? Like, do you not have ears? You know, do you not hear me when instead of that, I want to pause for a second and ask myself, what do I want your reasons to be for saying yes to my request? Do I want your reasons to be out of fear, manipulation? You're afraid of me. You're afraid of the punishment. Are you because I've made you feel shame? Or do I want you to do it because you love me and you want to contribute to my well-being and you take joy in that and you want to make my life better and you want to be a partnership with me?
It almost just makes me smile, not thinking about this conversation, because I think in every relationship, we've all had this conversation.
Sure.
With varying degrees of whether it's yard work, garage, clothes, dishes, doesn't really matter.
Kids, insert parenting.
Whatever the problem is. I think we've all had that. And how much peace I feel now, knowing that I just want to do things to make you happy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I guess the goal is, and especially in the goal for this podcast, how can we learn to communicate in a way that will keep that sort of happiness, that underlying want to treat you well, want to do things
burning.
Yeah, to keep that light burning.
Yeah.
Instead of snuffing it out.
So I want to add to that kind of example that I just shared. If my first reaction in my mind, if I stop and I ask that question, what do I want his reasons to be for saying yes to my request? If my first response back is something like, I don't give a crap. I just want him to do the dishes.
Yes. There's the one, right?
Okay. That probably means that I am not in my wise self. I have probably flipped my lid. My prefrontal cortex is probably offline. And this is not a good time for me to probably say anything. I probably need to go calm down and get wise before I say anything at all.
I love that you say get wise.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always have to calm down and grow up, which is like getting wise.
But if you think about this at really in your wise prefrontal cortex and you really think about this question, it's really obvious that you want them to act willingly because they care about your well-being, because they find joy in contributing to it, not because they're afraid of you, not because they're afraid of some reaction, and not because they're afraid of the shame that they're going to feel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll just share a quick story as
another story of our relationship.
This is an example from a friend, but it kind of goes along with this. Could have been. Yeah. My friend Sarah was frustrated. It's not her real name, by the way, but we'll just go with it. Yeah. My friend Sarah was frustrated because her husband, Tom, didn't give her physical affection. And outside of the bedroom, outside of sex, he would rarely touch her, hug her, hold her hand, give her a kiss, nothing. And she craved that non-sexual touch. I mean, sex is great, but you also want it. You want that physical connection as well. You want that physical touch. And it helped her to feel cherished, and she missed that. And so she tried all of these things we've been talking about in the episode, right? She tried the punishment. She tried withholding sex. She tried criticizing him, telling them that there must be something that was wrong with him. And all of these things, none of those things that she tried made him touch her more.
Yeah. As I'm listening to you tell the story, I'm thinking, I don't think any of those would have worked with me.
No, of course not. And logically, when we think about it, it's like, duh, obviously that's not going to work. In fact, what did those things do? They led to more arguments. They led to more contention, more resentment. They
increased the distance. Yeah.
More distance. No solutions. Nothing positive, productive came from that. And so then she tried those two questions, especially the second part that Robert shared. What do I want his reason to be for doing what I'm requesting? And she realized, you know what? She wanted Tom to do it because he cherished her. That was ultimately what she wanted. She wanted to feel cherished. And if he could only do it begrudgingly, then it would never feel good.
Yeah.
If it didn't
I love the way that you wove that question in there. Like, what are the reason? What was the reason she wanted Tom? Is that the Tom in the story? Yeah.
Yeah,
because he cherished her. I love that.
Yeah.
So when we communicate, we always want to avoid language that sounds like criticism, blame, or insults, as we learned from Tom and Sarah. Mm-hmm. Didn't really work. Avoid using fear or retaliation, and make sure that your requests don't come across as demands. And this is hard, especially, again, if this is the way that you were raised.
Yeah. So yeah. Maybe just real quickly on the demands, because maybe we didn't elaborate enough on that one. You know, that is, and we'll get more into this in subsequent episodes in this series, but just listen to the energy in which you say something like, I need you to do this right now. I need you to sit with and do this thing, and you can't leave the room until you finish this task. You know, that's a clear demand versus I would really appreciate it if you would consider helping me with XYZ.
Yeah. Or maybe even, and I love the way, you know, the way that you teach and we teach with the I statements. Like, I'm really feeling just buried right now.
Yeah.
I would really love a little additional help if you could with this. I mean,
that's a request.
That's a request. And you get very specific about that. All right. So now that we've talked about what you don't want, let's paint a picture of what we do want.
Good. And I think to think about what we really want, it helps to get a big picture of what is the goal of communication in our relationship? What is the ultimate goal? I've been thinking about this a lot. I've been thinking about this a lot the last couple of days. And if I could put all of my communication through like a spell checker, you know, but a communication checker like we do on our computer with our documents, what would be the criteria that I would be looking for? What would I need for that communication to contain? So instead of just flying off the handle, saying whatever comes out impulsively, just being reactive and saying what automatically comes out of us, what would our communication ideally have? What would be the goals of it? And I came up with three primary objectives that our communication to be most effective would have.
Ooh, I love this.
Okay. So first of all, it would create connection. So it would connect us. And we do that through empathy, which we're going to talk about in, I think, 2 weeks from now.
Okay.
But we want to create empathetic connection.
All right.
Number two, communication should be honest and it should be transparent. And then third, I think all communication should increase our mutual understanding.
Ooh, I like that.
So increase our mutual understanding of each other's needs, dreams, goals, values, perspectives. If we're increasing our mutual understanding, then that's a good communication. Does that make sense?
That's the hard part, but I think that's amazing. I love the increase our understanding. I think sometimes we think communication is really about getting your needs met. But if done correctly, we can use communication to learn more about our partner.
And then the byproduct ends up usually being helping one another to get their needs met. Yeah. That ends up being the byproduct. We always say understanding must precede any kind of negotiation. Like that, that's the key. When we really understand the values, the goals, the dreams that are behind the problem, then the problem kind of tends to work itself out.
Yeah, without a doubt, because we're less charged about it and we're seeking to understand.
Yeah, so good communication is going to improve or increase that mutual understanding.
Absolutely. So how do we make sure we're aiming for these goals every time we open our mouths? It starts with checking our own intentions. And we have to be brutally honest about this, about why and how we're communicating. And are we trying to connect and understand, or are we slipping into sort of wanting to control, wanting to punish, wanting to prove a point? And this takes a lot of reflection, takes a lot of looking in the mirror, which isn't always easy, but it's the key to keeping our communication aligned with the relationship we want. And when we say aligned, do we want a kind, empathetic relationship? Then we need to work on kind and empathetic communication.
Where we're actually in a relationship that we kind of started the episode out with, where we both desire to help one another, to have our needs be met, and to make one another's lives more wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So remember those two questions we talked about earlier. Okay. Let's use those again to check our intentions. So before you go and start a tough conversation, pause and ask yourself first, what is it that I'm wanting or needing right now in this moment? What do I want my partner to be doing differently? And get really clear about that. Like, I need more help with bedtime routines or chores or whatever it is. And then second is, and again, this is the big one, what do I want their reason to be for doing it? We want them, of course, as we've said, to act out of care because they find joy in making our life better, not because they're avoiding getting hurt. And so if your intention is anything other than connection and understanding, those three things that we talked about, then it's time to take a breath and it's time to take a pause. It's time to go collect your thoughts, maybe reframe what it was you're about to say. Maybe instead of that old automatic thing that you used to say, like, you know what, you never helped me with the kids. Maybe you try what Robert said earlier. I'm feeling really overwhelmed at bedtime. You know, I'm exhausted. Would you mind reading to the kids a few nights this week so that I can feel supported?
Yeah, that's cool. I love that. All right. As always, here's a quick challenge for you. Think of a recent conversation that you had that didn't go well. Replay it in your mind and ask yourself, what was your real intention? Were you aiming to connect or were you just trying to win that conversation? I want you to pause and get really honest with yourself. Then take a moment and jot down the thing that you could have said differently next time to align with this goal of being connected and empathetic and understanding in your relationship.
I like that. That's a good way to do it, where we go back and we just look at, okay, what's one thing I could have done different?
And I'm gonna just give you the next level on that.
Okay.
So if you've replayed that conversation and you've realized that you could have approached it differently, if you've not worked on repair, just take this as an opportunity to come to your partner and say, you know what, Charla, last night I was out of sorts. Yeah. I didn't handle that conversation very well. I really apologize. And the next time what I want to do is this. Mm-hmm. Would that have worked? So now you've repaired, you've owned it. You've worked on rapid repair and you're talking about, you know, verbally with your person, what maybe you could have done better. Mm-hmm. And how you could have handled the conversation better.
Which is only going to be so motivating for them to also get back into harmony with you and to work harder at their communication.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah. Okay, so next week we're going to continue the series on communication. Today was a really great foundation. Again, next week we're going to talk about judgments. What are judgments? Why do we love our judgments? And how do we start to make observations instead of judgments. So this is one that I see couples struggle with a lot.
Well, I think that's a wrap for today. Thanks for joining us on our episode today. If this episode resonated with you, please take a few seconds to leave us a review on the Apple Podcasts. It helps us reach more people who really need these tools. And you never know, you might just hear your review on next week's show.
Remember to be kind to each other this week. Put each other first. It's the small things done often that create the biggest impact.
Until next time.
Thank you for listening to Master Your Marriage. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover, then we want to hear from you. Just go to MasterYourMarriagePodcast.com and send us your question.
Oh, and while you're there, you can also check out our retreats and events and even apply for coaching.
And make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you get advanced notice of when the next episode drops, plus show notes and many extras. Thanks again for tuning in.